We continue our series on God's will and my identity. Tonight we're going to do it in a little different way, I think. You know, what is God's will for your life? And we're going to examine through the eyes of the mother of Jesus, Mary, and the disciple whom Jesus loved, John. Would you stand and let's begin our worship with our first hymn? Anticipating such an event, and most, if not all, of everything you need to respond with is in our bulletin. If it's not there, I'll just make it up. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When the time was fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. We thank our Heavenly Father for our Lord's humanity. Like Mary, Mother of our Lord, also be humble, gentle, and firm in faith. May our spirits so rejoice in our God. When events and circumstances seem to be overwhelming and beyond our control or understanding, Lord, let it be to thee. You may be seated as we hear from God's word.
Good evening. The first reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." This is the word of the Lord.
Children here tonight for the children's message, what I was intending to do was to show them my little badge that has seen a lot of water lately. So my picture is not very good. It never would be good. Oh, there you are. Do you want to see my badge? Isn't that a mess? Doesn't look like me anymore, does it? No. What does the badge tell us? What do these tell us about us? Do you think this tells everything about me?
No.
No? Just has got my name on it. That's about it, right? And if I put it by some doors, it unlocks those doors, so that's nice. Yeah. And it doesn't tell you how many children I have, does it?
No.
What else would you want to know about me that it doesn't tell you? What do you think? Does it tell you where I live?
No.
What I had for breakfast?
No.
Doesn't tell us many things at all. What if, like Mary, who's the mother of Jesus, had a badge? It wouldn't tell very much, would it?
Yeah.
What do we know about her?
That she gave birth to Jesus.
She gave birth to Jesus, yeah.
She was really brave.
She was very brave. Yeah, exactly right. Do you know why she was so brave? What did she have to do?
She had to face Gabriel.
That Gabriel angel talked to her and could have scared her a lot, right? I'm even going to talk about Gabriel tonight in my sermon. It's like, did you read my sermon?
No.
I thought you were cheating, maybe. Because that's really good. I had that idea to talk about Gabriel, and you already did, because Gabriel talked to her, and that was kind of scary. What else? What else don't we know? If Mary had just a badge like this, it'd be pretty neat if it had a picture of her, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't have a real picture. We just guess what she looked like because she was pretty young. What else about Mary? Do you know that when Jesus was on the cross, she was right there next to him, watching him die on the cross? What do you think that was like?
Probably felt really bad.
She felt real bad, yeah. It's kind of what I'm going to talk about tonight. Now, what if you had a badge with your name on it? What else would it say? What would you want your own badge to say? You might want it to say where you live. What do you like to do? Okay. It would have your picture. All right. Would it have anything about mom or dad on there? Probably you have to, yeah, I suppose. What else? Anything else that's special about you? How do you do in school? You do really good in school, so to have your name, things you like to do, excellent student in school, and what else? Would it have? It would say Christian, and would it say when you're going to get married?
No, because you wouldn't.
You wouldn't know that yet. Who does know that?
Jesus.
Jesus. And he knows that you believe in him, right? So that's something you and I have common. I could have that on my badge too, that we both believe in Jesus, right? That's pretty cool. And he loves us all the time. That's who we are. That's what's really important about us, that we always love Jesus no matter what happens, even when my projector goes, right? We know Jesus still loves us. Thank you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me an identity that knows all about you. So everybody knows I'm a Christian. And I know that I am saved. Amen. Thank you. You may stand if you would like for a reading from Mark. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Gabriel, the angel, God's messenger, delivered several important messages that we know. There was the message to Daniel, the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, to help him understand a vision that he had seen. And then Gabriel went to the priest Zechariah. You remember the father of John the Baptist, to tell him about the miraculous birth that was about to take place, not the birth of Jesus, but the birth of his son, John the Baptist. And finally, as we learned in the children's message, Gabriel went to the Virgin Mary to tell her that she would conceive and bear a son. I wonder if the angel Gabriel hovered anywhere near Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where they crucified Jesus, that faithful Friday afternoon. If you can use your imagination for a second, if the captain of the angel armies, Gabriel, had been there, what would that angel have seen? The Temple Mount, usually bright white in the splendor of the sun, would be now dull and flat in color because that afternoon it was dark. If Gabriel could look at the marketplace, the place that was usually just filled with people, trying to get everything done before the Sabbath began, well, that place would be hushed. The air would be heavy. And the hills of Bethlehem, off in the distance, where Gabriel had announced the birth of the Savior of the world to the shepherds, well, Gabriel could not help but notice. And looking over to the side, there would be that group of people gathered around a garbage dump, the executioner's hill, Golgotha, the place of the bald head, the skull head. And there, hanging between two men who had deserved death, Gabriel sees the Savior, Jesus, nailed to the cross. And there just below the cross, his mother Mary. I wonder, you know, I had to wonder what the angel would think. Because this Gabriel had gone to the young Mary to announce that she would be the mother of the Savior of the world. And now, what does Mary look like? How had she aged? What changes does the angel see? It would seem like such a very long time ago when she first visited Mary. But here she sees Jesus on the cross, Mary below, and John. Oh yes, there's John, the beloved disciple, by her side. If Gabriel were looking down from the clouds that good Friday afternoon, he would have seen the horror. He would have seen the shame. He would have heard the jeering, the cries of pain. But that angelic messenger would have also recognized with wonder this small family there clinging to each other in their grief and in their fear. There's this new family at the foot of the cross. John, standing next to Mary, is painfully aware Mary at his side, a woman that he has come to respect and even love as he traveled with Jesus. There's this smell of vinegar that they're offering to Jesus. It is so bitter, but it holds just a slight hint of wine. The crowd is saying they want Elijah to show up, but the wine has John thinking of an earlier time, of a wedding, in fact, a party at a small town called Cana. Mary was there. John came along with Jesus. And when they started running low on wine at the banquet, Jesus, his mother said, "They're starting to run out of wine." And Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." She went ahead anyway. She tells the servants, "Whatever he tells you, you do it." There were six big pictures there, stoneware, if you will, water pots. And the Jews would use those for the ritual washings. And each would hold about, 20, 30 gallons or so. And so Jesus ordered the servants, "Fill the pots to the top with water." The servants filled them to the brim. And then he said, now fill your pitchers and take them to the host," Jesus said. And the host tastes the water. It had become wine. He didn't know that yet. The servants were fully aware. They're just watching to see what he's going to do. And the host cries out to the bridegroom, "Everybody I know brings the best wine first, you know." And after the guests have had their full and are feeling a little tipsy, if you will, "We bring out the cheap stuff. But here, you've saved the best till now." John is remembering all of this, and he says, "You know, that was the first glimpse of the glory of Jesus." John, remembering back to Cana, all the hopes and the dreams he had for Jesus and the people and freedom from the Romans and peace and a better life. But then John recalls another wine. Just a day or so earlier, in that upper room, the Last Supper together, the Passover wine, so like and yet so unlike that wine in the cup at Cana, when Jesus said, "My blood is poured out for the sins of the world." There he is at the foot of the cross. And he can smell there's that coppery smell of blood. And it's mixed with the wine vinegar. It's all what the soldiers were giving Jesus. And John looks up to see Jesus. And the blood is pouring out. And he feels the shame of his own sin. John remembers falling asleep in Gethsemane when Jesus said, just wait here a minute while I go and pray. John remembers when he ran away to hide and he didn't do anything. He could have done so much more at the high priest's house. He kind of puts his arm around Mary and he's just sobbing. He feels the weight of his own sin. But he looks up and he watches as the weight of sin crushes his friend, the rabbi. John heard Jesus pray, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." He was amazed at that kind of grace. A love that forgives even those who do harm. But John doesn't feel personally forgiven. He knew what he was doing. John is feeling like it would have been better to die with Jesus than standing there watching his friend's life slowly trickle away, knowing full well that he did nothing to stop it. But when Jesus looks through his sweat and blood, he says, "Behold your mother." And John realizes how personally Jesus loves him, how deeply Jesus forgives him. When Jesus trusts his own mother to John, one of those who had slept through the agony in the garden, one of those who ran away with newly washed feet that Jesus washed out into the darkness, when Jesus trusts his own mother and her future into the hands of a weak and fickle sinner, then John knows he's never going to be the same again. He knows that he's a part of a whole new family. He knows this at the foot of the cross. Mary is remembering Simeon and Anna. Back in the early days in the temple, when they brought the baby Jesus, when her and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple to make the sacrifice, and they meet Simeon for the first time, and Simeon is the one who God had promised through the Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, and Simeon cries out, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to all of your people Israel." And then Anna, who had been a widow for 84 years, who had never left the temple area, worshiping day and night with fasting and prayer, and she sees Jesus, and she breaks into praise songs to God, and she talks about the child to everybody there, everybody who is waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. Mary is thinking these things. She's completely oblivious at that moment to John at her side, lost in her thoughts. She goes back to look at her son on the cross. And his feet are driven through by an iron spike into wood. And she, like a mother, remembers his first hesitating steps in the Egyptian sand. Then she looks over and she sees the sharp javelin of the Roman soldier as he hoists a sponge of wine vinegar. And she will remember the words that she has long pondered in her heart: "A sword will pierce your own soul." And somehow this doesn't feel at all like the salvation that Simeon spoke about, the salvation that the Lord has prepared before the face of all people. It doesn't feel like a light for the Gentiles or the glory of Israel. Right now, all Mary is seeing is darkness and death. She felt separated from Jesus before, of course. You know, when he first left the carpenter's shop and he wandered in the wilderness and he came back very changed. And then there was that time where she felt like a sword pierced her own soul when Jesus refused to come home with the rest of the family like a sensible son. He even claimed that those who do his will, God's will, were his father and mother and brothers and sisters. It felt like she was abandoned on that day, but it didn't last long because she realized it wasn't like that at all. The one who does God's will is my mother, Jesus had said. Mary remembers. She remembers Joseph. She remembers the angel. She remembers her own response so long ago. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary is just praying that prayer again. When her son up on the cross looks through the pain and through a split lip, his speech is slightly slurred, and he talks directly to her for the first time in weeks. Woman, look, here is your son. She's confused for a moment until she sees Jesus in the cross in all of his agony and horror and glory say, "Behold your son," to the man standing next to her. With a slight turn of his head, he makes eye contact the best way he can with the man just to her right. "Behold your mother." Only now does she really realize that she's been holding on to the strong arm of John in all of her grief. And even though it's feeling like a final farewell, the fact that Jesus could even imagine her need and her future in all of this pain that he is experiencing is a gift to her mother's heart. For a moment, Mary is between the memories of the past and the future. For a moment, she has Jesus and John. And all of that grief and anger and pain, it just recedes, if only by just a little bit. For Mary knows she's part of a whole new family at the foot of the cross. You see, Jesus was remembering Mary and John and all of you and me at that foot of the cross. He looked at his mother Mary. He looked at that disciple John with love not only for them, but also for us. He speaks a word of forgiveness. We become a whole new family at that cross. We receive forgiveness even though we don't deserve it. We receive the promise of eternal life because he dies for us. You see, his mother understood that. The disciple John, the beloved one, he knew it. And you know it. And you can leave here tonight knowing that whatever happens, because of your faith, you are forgiven. And your identity is in Jesus Christ. That's who you are. You are his, and he is yours. Amen. We're going to go to our Lord in prayer. Our prayers tonight, each petition will end with the words, "O Word made flesh," and you will respond, "Let us live to serve you, O Lord." Like Mary before us, We are humbled that you have chosen us to be a part of your family. Help us to be grateful to you and to honor you in all we do in thanksgiving for everything you called us to be through your power and strength. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord, when tasks are daunting. And we may not know if we can live up to the name Christian. Help us to remember that you have made us who we are for a reason. And your purpose will come to pass through your divine will. May we never lose sight of the vision for our lives. And may we always trust that you will give us abilities we need to carry out your plans. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers and fathers and all those who cared for us in childhood and beyond. May we never forget the sacrifices they made for us and the insight they shared to help us live more fully to our potential. Help mothers and fathers caring for children in our midst today turn to you for wisdom and guidance in living out their roles as parents. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. Bless those who, like Mary, at the foot of the cross mourn the loss of a loved one. Give them hope and confidence in your promise that all who die in the Lord are raised to life anew with you in heaven by your cross and empty tomb. Surround them, too, with family and friends to care for them in this time of sorrow, as John did for Mary. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. Strengthen the bonds of families. Help them to grow to know and understand each other more and more. Encourage them to support and uplift one another through thick and thin, loving one another unconditionally. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. When we have wandered from your way and lost a sense of whom we are, search and seek us out and call us back to you, Lord. May we find our worth and our place and our motivation for living in your warm and protective embrace. Fill us with a desire to stay near to you in word and devotion and prayer. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. Care for, we pray, those in our family of faith who are sick and hurting, who'd be in the hospitals and at homes with ailments of body, mind, and spirit. Today we pray especially for Alice and Bonnie and Dan and Lynn, Joe, Katie, Laverne, and Linda, Vern, Vernette, Norma, and Gwen. We pray for all who are unemployed or underemployed, for those who are poor and need. We pray for the family of Christy Aldig, whose aunt died recently. Loving Lord of all, grant to them peace and comfort and recovery of their energy according to your will. Raise them up to continue the work you've created them to do for the expansion of your kingdom. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. God of all creation, we offer you grateful praise for the gift of life. Hear our prayers for your servants who recall this week the day of their birth and rejoice in the gifts of love and life, family, and friends. This evening we pray for Marilyn, Ken, Gretchen, David, Austin, Justin, Natalie, Leanne, John, and Jacob. May every day of their life bring glory to the name of Jesus. We pray that each one will continue to live in the light of his gospel. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. And Father, as our thoughts turn to the forthcoming convention of the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we thank you that you have made us your children by faith and that you have permitted us to be workers together with you. Do not cast us away because of the coldness of our zeal, but forgive us and renew us. Lay your blessing upon our convention. Give those who act for us wisdom from on high. Grant us unity of spirit. Bestow upon our president and president-elect a double portion of your spirit, so that guided by you, they may guide our brothers and sisters only in your ways. Let all the officers and committee seek only your glory and the good of your children. O Word made flesh, let us learn to serve you, Lord. All these petitions we offer in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did the will of God and lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship by receiving your offerings. I invite you to rise. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Be with us through this season, Lord, and all our earthly days, that when the final Easter dawns, we join in heaven's praise. Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ, who once came into our world as a human child in answer to God's faithful promise, be with you now as we depart this place. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you and strengthen you as you walk with him.